2 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 11 to the end of the chapter, verse 21. Paul powers on still with his extended discourse on this question of boasting, bragging, comparing himself with these false teachers and so on. And he is doing it, he says, for very good reasons. He's already explained this in chapter 11 and verse 12. I'm doing this, he said. I'm making a fool of myself. Why? Because I'm trying to cut the ground from under these law teachers who have reached Corinth and doing such harm there, as we have seen over many verses, indeed, paragraphs, chapters now. These law teachers are wreaking havoc in the church at Corinth. And Paul is doing all he can, taking on these law teachers, not just for the sake of winning an argument and that kind of thing, but to cut the ground away from under the law teachers. As he says in this passage, verse 19, have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We've been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ, and everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. He wants these people rescued. He wants these people delivered from the bondage and the corruption they're going into and the treadmill, the sorrow, and the dead end that this law teaching will bring about. And there's tremendous trouble at Corinth, and the law teachers getting in among them have done nothing to put this right. As he says, I've made a fool of myself in all this, though. But you drove me to it, verse 11. And he makes the point that you should have commended me. He'll take that up again in the next chapter. You see, you know what my ministry is. You know what this glorious New Covenant ministry is. You've been converted under it. You've been sanctified under it. You've been edified under it. And now you're going back to the law and away from the gospel. I'm not the least inferior to these super apostles. You've got to see the apostles' irony here. These super apostles. The NIV has put this in inverted commas, quite rightly. Even though I am nothing. But of course he's not nothing. In himself he might feel that. Yes, I understand that. But as he says in verse 12, I've had all the marks of an apostle. The signs, the wonders, the miracles were all done among you, and you saw it with great perseverance. It wasn't just a flash in the pan. We weren't a hit-and-run people. We stood there, and we showed you. Time after time, again and again, we proved to you the quality, the standard, the power of our ministry. And again, he raises this issue of money. How were you inferior to the other churches, except that I was never a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. See his irony again. He's raised this in chapter 11, verses 7 to 12, the money. You see, I'm ready to come to you again for the third time, but I'm not going to be a burden to you, verse 14. I'm not going to sponge on you. I don't want your possessions. I want you. I love you, and I want to help you. I'm not after your money. And he uses illustration. I'll act like a father to you. Not the papist sense, of course, but in loving discipline, ruling authority, care. And I'll spend. I don't expect you to spend for me. I'll spend for you. I'll very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. Verse 15. If I love you the more, will you love me the less? But I've not been a burden to you. You can do that to me. You can insult me. You can do what you like, but I will love you more. Yet crafty fellow that I am, here's his irony again. I caught you by trickery. There's his irony. Again, the NIV has put the exclamation mark. Excellent. I didn't exploit you through any of the men, Titus and the other brother. No, we didn't exploit you. They didn't exploit you. No, we've all acted in the same spirit. This is the New Covenant spirit. Look at these super apostles. Look at these lawmen. Look at what they're doing to you. Have you been thinking all along that we've been defending ourselves to you? No, it's for you. It's for you. For your strengthening, for your good that we're after. And then he comes to this. You see, there's tremendous trouble at Corinth, and these lawmen are doing nothing to put it right. Legal preaching produces bondage, boasting, legalism. I'm afraid that when I come to you, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. In other words, there's going to be trouble. Why? Because I'm going to have to do something about what? About what? The quarrelling, the jealousy, the outbursts of anger, the factions, the slander, the gossip, the arrogance, the disorder. You see, that's all going on at Corinth, and I know it is. And here you are going into lawmen, and that won't put it right. Indeed, what I'm going to say here is, can you see the silent note here? Can you hear the silent note, perhaps I should say? What do you mean? If ever a place was calling for the law, here's a disorderly church. Well, hit them with the law then, Paul. Hit them with the law. That will sanctify them. That's what Calvin said. That's what the Puritans said. That's what the Reformers say. That's what the Reformed teachers say. That's what the Evangelicals say. The law, the law, the law. And he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. He doesn't say, now the law teachers have got it right here. No, the law teachers have done nothing to improve this lack of sanctification, have they? There's an important point. The glorious new covenant ministry. If ever there was a place where he should bring in the law, here it is, but he doesn't. The silence is deafening. I'm afraid when I come, my God will humble me before you, and I'll be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and not repented of the impurity, sexual sin and debauchery. These things are going on at Corinth, he says, in which you have indulged, and it's got to be disciplined. The new covenant ministry, the glorious new covenant ministry, does not do away with discipline in the gospel. Well, this is how he's driving on at Corinth. Can you feel the passion in his voice? Can you hear it from his heart? You'll find the same in Galatians, you'll find the same in Romans. He acts like an advocate in court, appealing for the last time desperately, hoping against hope to rescue this people. And he pleads with them. He pleads with them to come back to the gospel. That's what he's doing. He's trying to cut the ground away from under the law teachers. And he's pleading with these people to receive Paul and the gospel ministry, the new covenant ministry. That's what he's after. As I say, the silence is deafening. The love of this man, the care of this man, and the effort he makes to bring them back to Christ and the gospel is wonderful to behold. We must learn from this, brothers and sisters. We need this in our ecclesias. We need this love and care and concern and discipline to produce a godly life in action. This is what we need to show to the world. Spirituality, love, affection, holiness, godliness, spirituality in action, I say, not just in word, not just in argument about law, but in the practical daily godliness. I love the love of this man. I love the care and the concern of this man, the spirituality of this man. I want to learn from him. The way to produce sanctification, the way to produce love and affection in the ecclesia is not by law. It's by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by the new covenant. The glorious new covenant ministry. The missing note here. Don't miss the missing note. Don't miss the missing note. There's no hammering home the law. It's all grace and gospel, love and spirituality.